Just who was worse at the weekend? The Eagles, the Lions, or the Jets? We look back on a crazy week one in the NFL and look ahead to week two. We'll look at all of the markets on Betfair. It's NFL, only better.
My favorite lane. I always say the next one.
Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
Hello and welcome to NFL Only Better here with Betfair. Joining me today is Mike Carlson and, of course, we have John Baff. John, welcome to the program for the first time.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
It is the first time.
thank you for having me.
Thank you again for joining us.
Nothing I'd rather be doing right now.
Ooh, and I don't know if that sounds all the way true, but we'll stick with it for now. Gentlemen, here on NFL Only Better, one of the things we like to do is just look back really quickly on what was the biggest bad beat for people who got involved in the NFL over the weekend. So I'm going to put it out there for both of you. Mm-hmm. Who got hit the hardest over at the weekend? I'm going to give you three options. We'll start with the Eagles. 9.5 point spread in around 10, 9.5, 10.5. Led at one stage 32-20 with just 3 minutes and 10 seconds on the clock until Case Keenum took the Skins all the way down the field and with 6 seconds left, scored a garbage touchdown, which was a disaster for favourite backers and the big one, really, of the weekend. The Lions, same sort of deal, of course, were quite a bit up in the fourth quarter, 18 points, but back came the Vikings and the Cardinals, several miscues, field goals, overtime, 27-27, and that game hurts the punters as well. And then, Mike, I know you're going to say that you called it, but as someone who actually backed the Jets, I can tell you that when they were 16-0 up in the fourth quarter, I thought they would win. But somehow, they managed to lose 17-16. So, Mike, which one of those do you think was the worst for people to take?
Well, I mean, I can't say the Jets because, as you said, I picked Buffalo in that game, and they were getting points as well, so it was even better. And I was watching it, and you know, even at 16-0, the Jets had not been that impressive, at least not offensively. And it was simply up to Josh Allen to sort of improve his game in the fourth quarter, which he did. But I wouldn't have been crazy enough, I think, to take the Lions on the road, even against Arizona. And I thought you put it pretty well. What they did was simply collapse. They started making mistakes of their own to help Arizona on the way. So I'm just going to say the Eagles, because that Case Keenum to Trey Quinn touchdown with 6 seconds left is like, it's the ultimate backdoor cover. You know, it's the kind of thing where if you take someone who doesn't know football to the game, to the stadium, and the score comes and half the stadium starts going crazy cheering, and they say, well, what, they didn't win? Why are they cheering? Is it because they just covered? Yeah.
Yeah, of course, and it's alluded to a couple of times on Red Zone and by the managers after the matches that touchdown cost someone. I mean, it's a garbage touchdown with 6 seconds left, John. It hurts people if they've gone. And just as a quick note, by the way, the results from week one are 5-7-1 for the favourites against the spread. We all know where the one is with that draw, but 5-7. So it was a good game. It was good enough for favourites. Which one of those three did you think was hurt the most? I think you said Lions to me, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Well, just watching the game through the first three quarters of the Arizona and Detroit game, it seemed like I mean, you could make terrible assumptions here that the Kyler Murray number one pick wasn't going to work. You could say the Kingsbury air raid offense was off to its worst possible start. And like I said, for three quarters, that seemed to be the case. But then all of a sudden, they seemed to put a Duracell battery into Kyler Murray in the fourth quarter there. And he got two touchdowns. He got a two-point conversion. I think he missed three passes completely in the fourth quarter, but he did, and he hit over 300 yards in the air as well, which is great for a rookie in his first game. But you have to consider that he did throw 54 times in that match. But
yeah, you know, and I think teams will discover that you can't sort of sit back and play prevent against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to keep attacking him and trying to confuse him right from the get-go and all the way through the game.
Yeah, it seems
I took a little satisfaction in the overtime actually ended in a tie.
Yeah.
Because I'm basically, maybe I've lived over here too long, but I'm basically opposed to overtime in the regular season. So,
was that right? I heard an argument. Yeah, I heard an argument. I think it might have been from yourself, actually, on a different broadcast. But
don't mention the name, John.
I won't mention the name, Kieran. But the idea of completely outlawing the concept of overtime in the regular season and leaving that just for a postseason situation where you need to have a winner.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Okay, well, guys, let's just quickly, right? So we're saying Eagles, Lions, and Jets. They were the ones who kind of messed up. Looking ahead to next week, who's got the scars? Is it the Eagles? I mean, they won the game, so they're not really going to care about the spread. We care about the spread because it hurts us. Mm-hmm. The Lions, I mean, they threw that away. And the Jets, I mean, is it the Jets? I know you're not a massive fan of them sometimes, Mike. I'm just looking at the Lions go to the Chargers. The Jets, John, they have Cleveland Browns, isn't it? And the Eagles will continue on as well. Just going to see exactly who the Eagles are playing.
They're at Atlanta.
That's right. They're one of the later games.
Yeah.
Who's coming out of that, lads, with the scars when we look into who we're backing for a handicap here?
If you're talking about the most wounded team going into week two, I can't see anyone beyond the Cleveland Browns, who are, I have to say, they are my team, the team I follow. But from, you know, losing 30 points bet at home, particularly when they were so highly fancied in week one for the first time in probably two decades. They haven't won an opening week game in, I think it was 14 or 15 years. So that is a team, it's make or break week two for the Cleveland Browns, I think, particularly given it was last season's game against the Jets where they put Baker in there just prior to the end of the first half, and he kind of turned that game around and they got their first win in practically two seasons. So they'll need to, they've put themselves in the unenviable position of having to kind of repeat that situation in order to get the season going. And I think they are a decent bet away to the Jets.
Yeah, well, they're favourites. Mike, do you think it's the Browns coming out with the hardest? Take away those three teams. Are they the ones feeling the scars this morning?
I think Atlanta is going to be a difficult proposition simply because they played so badly against Minnesota, and they're always a much better home team than they are a road team. So this will put a good bit of pressure on the Philadelphia defense. And, you know, with the best will in the world, they had the game won, so they had to come from behind against Washington. They gave them 20 points in the first half. But then they had the game won, so the score looks a little bit closer than it probably should have been. But they were torn up a bit in the secondary by Case Keenum, and Matt Ryan can do the same kind of thing. So that's an interesting situation. And the Browns, if Greg Robinson gets suspended, he was thrown out of the game for kicking a player in the head. Without him at left tackle, Baker Mayfield was under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's got a sprained wrist in his throwing hand.
I heard that too. They had
so that may be a problem for them. Now on the other hand, you know, Adam Gase and the Jets. I saw a stat somewhere that Sam Darnold had gained the second fewest number of yards of anyone who ever completed 28 passes in a game, and that's Adam Gase in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
He creates kind of surprising stats for these quarterbacks, and people think he's a quarterback whisperer. But you know, anyone can do that by throwing underneath coverage and short of the first down markers, and that's not necessarily the way to win. So I think I'd kind of agree that Cleveland have to be able to put this one together.
Yeah, 7 minutes and 35 seconds. That's how much time it took for Mike to say quarterback whisperer for playing that game at home.
I missed the over under on that. I'm perfectly willing to fix that bet.
It's an internal bet only.
Yeah, we'll offer that next week.
We will offer that next week. So let's quickly look ahead then. Right, so Sunday at 6 o'clock, the game that is most people will be watching if they're not watching Red Zone. I can't understand why you wouldn't be watching Red Zone, but it is Minnesota Vikings going to the Green Bay Packers. Mike, just quickly to you, a little stat that I grabbed from the Green Bay game, right? So they're favored by 3 points. But Aaron Rodgers, boy, oh boy, they're still getting to him, aren't they? I mean, he is going to be sacked a lot this year if it continues going.
It does look that way, and there's no basic reason for it because it's not really that long a developing kind of offense. Their offensive line is not really much different from last year's. I don't think that he and the offense and the receivers are yet on completely the same page. It's kind of a bit completely different from what they were doing under Mike McCarthy. And to me, the question of this game is their defense, which played really well against Chicago, although the Bears kind of helped them a bit by being kind of inefficient offensively as well. But if their defense can play that well against Minnesota, Minnesota's defense is good and is going to give them trouble. But, you know, the Vikings won against Atlanta and only threw the ball, 19 times.
Yeah, one of the lowest ever, yeah.
Something like that. I don't need to look it up. It was a very low number of passes, and if they could do that against Green Bay, which I don't think they'll be able to do, this game becomes a lot more competitive.
John, you've got something to add there, don't you, about this?
Yeah, when it comes to Green Bay and the point you made, Kieran, about Aaron Rodgers getting, what was he, sacked 5 times in that game?
Five, and since 6 were called back by penalties, so there's an argument that he was into double figures.
Mm. Well, the one thing to consider, I wouldn't necessarily be overly concerned after week 1 of that, because they're not going to be going against the Bears' defense every single week, and you know, you're not going to have someone like Khalil Mack chasing you down, which I think probably played a big factor in their first fixture. So I think that's the only positive thing they can possibly take from that, is that it mightn't be as bad as that forever.
Yeah, the Vikings sacked Matt Ryan 4 times, and Kirk Cousins only threw 10 passes in that game.
There you go.
Eight for 10 for 98 yards. This, you know, that would fit right in Green Bay in 1943.
So looking at it, my Minnesota Vikings 5-4, Green Bay Packers are 13-20. The spread is 3 points. Three is a tricky one, isn't it? You'd love to see 2.5 in that, because it covers you with a field goal. You'd have to still fancy Green Bay, lads, I think, going into it with the performances from week one.
They're just always a hard team to bet against when they're at home. I tend to shy away from that. And the 3-point spread, what, says that they basically look at the teams as even? And to me, the Vikings are a better team. So, you know, so you're tempted that way, but I'm probably going to keep my hands in the air and leave it alone.
Okay. Let's move on to New Orleans at LA Rams. This one, guys, has, well, I mean, it's got all the makings, really, of a classic shootout. Straight away, Mike, just looking at the game last night, are you a little bit worried about New Orleans continuing to give up so many points?
Yeah, and that wasn't the case for the past couple of years. Their defense has actually been really, really better than people realized. And last year, and after they picked up Eli Apple, they were actually, a top 5 defense, really, in the NFL. Part of that, I think, was Deshaun Watson. Part of it was DeAndre Hopkins is, in my mind, the best receiver in the NFL, and even when he's covered, you can throw him the ball and he'll make catches. But they got to Watson 6 times, which is a pretty good sack percentage for anybody. And I think going against the Rams, they'll be able to give Goff a bit more trouble. And I thought the Rams were very unconvincing. I thought Goff looked tentative. He was missing easy throws. He was missing reads, more importantly, more than once. He missed a throw to a receiver when he had a better option open on the same half of the field. And Todd Gurley, although he ran for a couple of big runs, just to me looked like somebody who isn't yet 100%. I didn't see that explosive burst that he normally has. And, I mean, 14 carries, 97 yards, you're not going to turn that down. But I think this turns into a really interesting game, because you put your finger right on it. It's how much faith do you have in the Saints' defense? And I'd just like to go back to last year when the Rams played the Chiefs, and it was 54-51. Everybody said, this is the future of football. There's never going to be a low-scoring game again. And then the Rams scored 3 points in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't think they're automatically a huge scoring team if you defend them properly.
John, we actually spoke a little bit on Sunday briefly on the Rams, in that, and following on from what Mike said there, there was a couple of times that Goff missed Cooper Kupp a couple of times wide open. I think that's what you were alluding to as well, yeah. Mike. And it was very confusing with Todd Gurley, because he's either injured or he's not. He's either a cowbell or he's not, for me. And at the moment,
well,
his
backup got those 2 touchdowns in the game, but he had less yardage than Todd did. But there is those rumors. I don't know whether they've been substantiated at this point or not, but he's suffering from arthritis in his knee, and that doesn't spell bell cow to me.
Yeah, that's a tough one. New Orleans Saints 6-5, Rams 4-6. I personally would be tempted to take the Saints +3 at the moment on the handicap. I just think that with Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees, that there's so much there. Another way of looking at this, possibly, Mike, is to go on the overs, wouldn't it? Because I know you're going to say that they're not going to be all high-scoring games, but this, on paper, looks high-scoring. He's going to disagree with me. We are so cutting this out.
I haven't looked at the lines or anything, but I'm going to say 48 and a half.
In and around that, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No.
It's 47 actually at the moment, I think.
47, okay. You know, if it's less than 48 and a half, I think I've just put the bet down.
Yeah, it's a tough one because they can get going, can't they? But the only thing you'd be worried about is the Rams, are they spluttering just a little bit at the start of the season? John, you think?
Well, to Mike's point, what was it you were saying, talking about Jared Goff? I certainly saw that on Sunday also. But, I think a lot of this stuff is still just down to week one. You know, how many reps did he get during the offseason? Did he play preseason games? How many snaps did he get? You know, sometimes it can take a week or two to get into the swing of things, and I wouldn't necessarily be like, I don't think Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but I certainly don't think he's in the bottom 10 either. So I think there's work to be done certainly to get that offense ticking, but it's the Rams. They're a high point scoring team. Obviously they got to the Super Bowl last year where they weren't a high point scoring team, but I'd back them. I think this could do over 47 points for this particular game would be my bet.
Okay. That's a great point John just made too about the nature of preseason changing, and the players get less contact in practice. Fewer of the star players play very much in the preseason, and what offenses nowadays, these especially the modern kind of spread offenses, are really based on timing. Receivers have to run their routes, you know, they have to recognize and get in sync with their quarterbacks, and I think that really is harder to do. So week one was kind of like the last week of the exhibition season, and you know, hopefully we see a little less sloppy play this week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can do all the training reps you want, but none of that defensive line, be it a rookie or be it a veteran, they might try and pressure the quarterback during training or whatnot. But I'll tell you, they're not. Show me a rookie who hits a quarterback during preseason, and I'll also show you someone who gets cut the next day.
Yeah, when I was playing in college, my senior in college, I had bad knee, so I got to wear a red jersey during practice, which meant don't hit him.
Yeah,
boy, was that fun! That was the best season of football I ever, because I hated practice. And when you go around practice knowing no one can hit you, it's fantastic.
How did that translate to the actual season?
Well, for me, it didn't matter. I wasn't going to get any better or worse.
Who had 16 minutes for Mike's first college story?
I was waiting for the knowing Belichick in college one. When's that like?
Yeah, well, that one, the odds are usually pretty short on.
Before we move on to some of the later games, just very quickly, one point that comes out of the weekend is blowouts. Patriots really crushed the Steelers, and Dallas look good, so their lines have slightly moved. But, Mike, would you get involved with the Cowboys -4.5 at Washington and the Patriots? Wait for it. 18.5 points at Miami.
I was going to say, I'd take the Dolphins if it goes down, if the spread goes down to two figures.
Against the Patriots.
I hate huge spreads.
That is a monster spread.
Yeah, and apparently the Patriots have not covered huge spreads. I think 18 or over, something like that. There's been 7 times and they've only covered once. The thing that worries me about the game, well, there's two things that would worry me about the game taking the Patriots. One is the weather in Miami, which has always been a bugaboo for them, usually in December more than September. But last week in Miami, it was like 96 degrees and humid. And the other one is that the entire Miami coaching staff just came from the Patriots last year. So, in theory, they should have an idea of what New England's going to do. Now, in practice, what we saw last week was a completely different offense from the Patriots to what they ran last year. And I think if Antonio Brown is playing, which I'm not sure that he will be, it might take him more than a week to sort of get in sync with the offense. It's going to be even less like last year's Patriots team. So, I mean, they're a team that can score at will. The Dolphins had, you know, looked like they had very little shot or ability to score. And for everything I've said against taking the 18.5, it's very, very tempting.
It is indeed very, very tempting. Miami looked really bad. Hey, look, if you really want, you can take the Patriots at 1-25 on the money line. And, you know, I mean, there's always that option.
This is true,
Kieran. Always that option. And yeah, look, if it's going to be an 18-point handicap, hey, there's 48 is the total match points there, so just go over. You know?
That would be, to me, a better bet, yeah. But to me, the thing is, nobody really does this anymore, but sooner or later, a team's going to take its foot off the pedal in one of these games, and Tom Brady's not going to play the entire 60 minutes when he's up by 30 points. You know, I mean, look at Baltimore. They're up 35-3 in the first half, and they ran a fake punt.
That's right, yeah.
What was that all about?
The Patriots took out Brady last season in a game early on in their third or fourth week when they were absolutely crushing a team, and the guy that came in for him scored two touchdowns. It's not always the case that just because they take Brady out, they start to lean away, but we do get your point, all right. Mike, the next game that we're very quickly going to look at, we'll just wrap up, it's Tampa at Carolina. Now, I do want to mention to everyone that is listening, first of all, thank you very much. Please subscribe to the podcast. Is also that now on Betfair we've got what's called same game multis. If you wonder what that is, we've done it on football and a host of other sports. It's where you can add different selections to a bet slip from the same game, so it can be something like the home team points, the away team's points, the total points and the handicap, etc., and sort of mix it all up in a one game act. So I asked John for the Tampa at Carolina game to have a little look for Thursday night, and John, you've gone with, drum roll please,
I'm going to go with Carolina in that one, -6.5 is what I'm kind of forecasting here.
And then you've got over 28.5 points for Carolina and under 20 for Tampa.
Yeah.
We worked that out at about 3.51.
It sounds about right to me. I just have to say, I'm a Christian McCaffrey truther. I think he's possibly, I think this season will be the one where he breaks out as the best running back in the league. And the man can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. So I think the Panthers will be on his back, but they'll score over 28.5 points.
Yeah, so high scoring for the Panthers.
I like that a lot. If that would be in line, that's in line for a sort of best bet pick if it wasn't on Thursday and my column wasn't on Friday, because you know, Carolina, they gave up 30 points to the Rams, but they actually played a pretty good defensive game in that one. They're a good defensive team, solid defensive team, and Tampa on the short week, having to go up, having to travel to Carolina, I just think the short week gives a great defensive team a big advantage, and it'll get bigger, I think, for Carolina in this one.
Okay, right. Let's touch very quickly on the two final games. So, Mike, I'll give you Eagles at Atlanta. John, we'll give you Cleveland Browns at Jets, because we all already know how you're going to go. Philadelphia Eagles at Atlanta Falcons. It's almost a pick 'em, 5-6. The Philadelphia Eagles, even money Atlanta Falcons. We're giving the Eagles -1 point in our season-long preview, which, John, you weren't invited to. Mike, you gave a sneaky little push for the Eagles if they got their act together as someone who could go far. So they got to win this game, don't they?
I mean, they can still go far without it. In fact, I'm surprised that they're not a couple of points. They're not a couple of point favorites, which would lead me to take Atlanta as the dogs in that one. Because, like I said earlier on in the show, I think Atlanta's going to put their act together a bit better, and that's going to put the onus on the Philadelphia offense to keep up with Atlanta. As I'm talking myself out of putting any money on the Falcons. So, yeah, go with the Eagles.
Okay, John. Cleveland Brown at New York Jets, your speciality.
Right, this is going to sound like a hometown call here, but I'm going to absolutely pick the Browns in this one. Again, just going back to week one, I think that was an outlier of a performance, a 30-point defeat at home, particularly when, like...
Yeah, a lot Michael of positives on a 30-point defeat.
Well, Michael alluded to, Greg Robinson was ejected from the game. Then they brought in Kendall Lamb to replace him at left tackle, and he got injured. So they were ended up, I don't know how they switched it around, but I think they put a guard out of tackle and things like this. And as well, the penalty count was absolutely atrocious. And they pretty much started every first down they had at a 1st and 20 going through the game. And that is not a way to play productive football. So as long as they can right those wrongs and they really redouble their efforts this week in training and just eliminate that stuff from the game, I think they have enough about them to beat. Like, let's not forget that this time last week, a lot of people were calling them potential Super Bowl candidates. And I think that might be overstating overstating things a little bit, but I'd be surprised if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
Don't back them up, Mike. Don't back them up.
people were. I thought it was crazy, but people were. 18 penalties penalties for 182 yards.
Yeah, that's not a productive way to play football.
No, and a lot of that was because they couldn't handle the pass rush from Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, that's when you lose two tackles in a game. Like you said, Baker hurt his he appeared to hurt his wrist in the fourth quarter there, and he went 3 for 9, I think, in that, and threw 3 interceptions. So, hopefully these are things that are fixable from the Cleveland point of view, of course. So, assuming that is a thing that they can do, and they have a little bit of a longer time, they're not playing until Monday now. That's the primetime game on Monday, so I think that potentially, fingers crossed, they can get this.
Yeah, you're
this
doubting
back.
The people were calling Cleveland for the Super Bowl. When was the last time the Browns were in prime time?
There you go. And I think they've got a few more of them this year, too.
Yeah.
That's it. Mike, your article is, of course, up on betting.betfair every Friday. So they can check that out there. It's got a couple of selections for the weekend. But if I was to ask you just right now, one of the teams that you think will be going into it, if you had one that you've already just quickly thought, well, I'll tell you what, from week one, I really like the look of them already.
I may be going back to the, like I said, I haven't looked at the lines yet, but I may be going back to Buffalo for a little help. And I'm really fascinated by the Cowboys again, who last week were my best bet and this week are at Washington. And I think that could be very interesting.
Absolutely. And John, you're going for the Cleveland Browns. And we've also got your same game multi, which is going to be available on all the matches taking place over the weekend as well. Gentlemen, that's pretty much our look ahead. A couple of bets there for everyone that's listening. Hopefully we'll be coming back. Mike, you were 3 from 3. I got to say it again last week. 3 from 3. What was your outside one again last week?
San Francisco straight up over Tampa.
Great show.
In Tampa.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I should say.
I think they were getting a point, but I said, don't take the point. Take the better odds. Mm.
I should mention, by the way, Kieran, that I've never got a pick wrong.
I don't think that's true.
Well, it is my first show.
Well, we'll find out in 7 days. thank you very much for that, gentlemen. And thank you for tuning in to NFL Only Better as well. We'll be back next week with a look ahead to week 3. And please subscribe to the podcast to be great, whatever way you're listening to us, on Spotify, on iTunes, on whatever way you are, please subscribe. Football Only Better is coming up on Thursday. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.